campaign in Italy has brought remarkable developments in close air support to land forces. You have heard and read accounts of engagements describing simply that the actions were supported by our air cooperation. How this important striking power, so closely linked now with ground offensives, is organized and how it operates is told for us by Major Robin Bell, who controls the air operations sent up in support of the New Zealand Division. Major Bell.
I have been asked to tell you something about how the RAF works in close cooperation with the Army, and in particular, how we organize that support in the New Zealand Division. One cannot too strongly emphasize how, today, the forces on the ground and in the air have become a single striking power, each with its special task, but so closely coordinated that they form one fighting machine. Any plan of attack combines the two, and it is not too much to say that the infantryman on the start line and the fighter-bomber pilot standing by his aircraft on an airfield many miles away have become a common offensive power, each with a special part to play, but acting only on a plan which takes into account the strength and skill of both. To attain such a standard of combined operation, the New Zealand Division has a special organization, and I shall tell you of the many ways in which we work with the Air Force. Taking these methods in their logical sequence, I think the first one is the air photograph. From these we get not only a first-class photographic map showing the topography of enemy territory, but in addition we learn a great deal about his defenses. We are able to learn what areas he is strongly fortifying, where his wire entanglements run, where his mines are laid. We can see what tracks he is using, and above all where his artillery, especially his big guns, are concealed. The photographs we get today are excellent. Looking back, I cannot help mentioning the immense strides that have been made in the development of air photography. For instance, nearly 4 years ago in the Libyan desert, one would see a very gallant pilot in a Lysander doing perhaps a flat-out 100 miles per hour flying to photograph the Italian fort Capuzzo. He would be surrounded by a bevy of fighters, gladiators whose speed did not equal the Italian bombers. After this hazardous undertaking, the result would be a few necessary but rather inadequate photographs. Today that's all changed. The finest and fastest aircraft in the world are used. There's nothing to touch them in speed or in the excellence of their photography. So good is it that here, in this mountainous country, our troops often prefer the air photograph to a map. So you see, we begin by getting a very good idea of the enemy country. And now we want to know what he's doing and what movement is taking place. So we come to what is known as tactical reconnaissance, and aircraft specially adapted for the purpose are sent out. Unlike the photographic aircraft, who fly very high, TACAR, as we call the tactical reconnaissance aircraft, have to fly very low, and they have to run the gauntlet of enemy ACAC fire. These pilots, specially trained for the purpose, do grand work. All through the hours of daylight, they are constantly on the job. The first of them fly over at daylight. Perhaps they will be able to tell us that German transport are moving up a certain road. The question then arises, where are they going? Is this movement in preparation for a German attack, or are these vehicles coming up to carry back stores or personnel for a German withdrawal? To find the answer to these questions, up goes the next TACAR aircraft. He tells us what route they have taken, and we are pretty well able to judge the enemy's intentions. These reports on road movement are coming in all day long and give us a very good idea of what is going on behind the German lines. Apart from these road reconnaissances, information comes in on the enemy area as a whole, such as where his guns and tanks are hidden, and at what points he is gathering concentrations of troops. But this is not all, for in this mountainous country, it is sometimes difficult to get observation posts which can see deep into enemy territory. This applies particularly in the case of long-range artillery. So aircraft are laid on to fly over enemy territory and actually direct the fire of our heavy artillery from the air. In addition, there are other smaller aircraft similar to the Moths we saw in New Zealand before the war. They are known as AeroPs. They can land in small paddocks or even on the road. They are not intended to fly over the enemy lines, but just a few hundred feet above our field artillery, and from the air, direct our fire onto the enemy in the forward areas. These AeroP aircraft are quite a familiar sight now with the Div, flying only a few feet above our heads, lifting themselves over the tops of our three tunners in quite an amusing manner, and nestling down to the ground in any small cleared space. Well, those are some of the ways in which we are assisted by aircraft. Now I would like to tell you something about the offensive side to close air support. First of all, there are, of course, the fighters. At daylight, the first patrol roars overhead, and there, in relays, they remain all through the day. You may not see them, or perhaps the only indication of their presence may be a vapor trail, very, very high in the sky. But they're there all the same. The Boche is very fond of low-level hit-and-run raids, and that is when this patrol of Spitfires swoops down to drive the enemy off. We've had excellent air cover all through these difficult operations in Italy. Next, I do want to say something about the splendid cooperation we get from the fighter bombers. They are responsible for the close support bombing directly in front of our own troops. As you can imagine, their work calls for great skill and very accurate map reading on the part of the pilots in order to locate their targets in this rough country. This is especially difficult when our own troops are close to the enemy. Well, a call is put in for fighter bomber air support whenever our troops are held up by something which our own artillery cannot deal with. Such targets would be concentrations of enemy tanks, transport, or troops, or carefully concealed gun positions. Perhaps the Boche is holding out in a village which has been turned into a fortress. Then it is that these aircraft come over and bomb him out of it. Again, when we capture a position, the Germans are extremely quick at forming up for a counterattack. As soon as we see this happening, we turn the air on to bomb their troops and tanks forming up. And very often the German attack has been prevented from developing. Besides this fighter bombing, these aircraft dive down and strafe the roads to stop enemy transport movement. I cannot speak too highly of the magnificent work of the fighter bombers during the past few months, when not only the mountains, but mist and cloud have made the task of these pilots extremely difficult. In addition to fighter and dive bombers who do this accurate close bombing, we have the light and medium bombers. This takes us further afield. They carry heavier bomb loads and go in more for formation or pattern bombing of an enemy locality. Such places as an enemy headquarters, transport parking areas, crossroads, and railway yards are their favorite targets. While all these forms of air support are available during the day, there is continued activity at night, when intruder aircraft are available to strafe the roads which the Germans have been prevented from using during the day. Night bombers are at work too, and there was a memorable night not so long ago when they caught a whole trainload of Germans detraining at a railway station. Well, that's an outline of the organization of air support. Perhaps you would like an illustration of it in action, and as we in the New Zealand Division have experienced it in recent operations. the crossing of the Sangro River and the advance that followed it to the heights of Castelfrontano are both operations in which air support was used to good effect. First of all, a careful study was made of the ground, principally from air photographs. The Sangro, which is much the same size as the Rangitiki, flows through a wide valley. The hills are steep and the ground broken with olive trees and cultivation. The country is more favourable to defence than attack. Before the attack took place, aerial bombardment was concentrated on focal points behind the German positions. Everything was done to harass enemy movement in the rear areas and interrupt as much as possible the bringing forward of supplies, ammunition, and reliefs of fresh troops. The effect of this activity from the air was that German troops holding the ground on which our attack was aimed were isolated as far as that could be done before we launched our infantry assault. You will have heard that it was a night attack, and of course our aircraft were out strafing the roads all that night. The attack was successful, and at daylight our troops were on their objectives. Now we concentrated our air support on breaking up the enemy's gun line, an operation which met with considerable success. Soon the Hun was reported assembling for counterattack, and here again the air was ready to support the gallant infantrymen holding firmly to their hard-won gains. Combining with our ground artillery, air support went into action when possible and helped to break up the enemy concentrations preparing for counterattack. Here the bombers would be helped by our artillery fire, which was directed on the German AKAK guns, and so allowed the bombers more time to locate their targets. As you well know, we became securely established on the ground that had been won, and the enemy failed completely to dislodge us. Now I mustn't take up any more of your time, but this I must say, and you will be proud indeed to know, that many of these aircraft flying high over the division in these operations I've spoken to you about are piloted by New Zealanders. Men of almost all the United Nations are there in the air above us in what has now become a regular and constant form of air support. Those of us who fought in Greece and Crete with virtually no available air cover value today's impressive cooperation very highly indeed. It has all become a matter of teamwork, working for the common end to win this war.